Our first scripture lesson today is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 77, verses 1 through 2 and 11 through 20. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. I cry aloud to God, that God may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Just beautiful. This morning, our sermon scripture comes to us from the New Testament, from the book of Galatians. I'll be reading from the 5th chapter, the first 6 verses, and then skipping to verse 13 through 15. Listen now for God's word to and for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For me, the 4th of July brings to mind some wonderful memories. I can remember when our girls, who are now well into their 20s, when we used to take them to St. Augustine. We lived in Jacksonville at the time, and we would hunt forever for a great parking place. And then we'd carry them on our shoulders to the park and spread out the quilt and look up and watch the fireworks explode into colors all above the fort. Then when we moved to Louisville for seminary, there was thunder over Louisville, the largest fireworks display in North America, and we would park way out and put everything in the wagon and tote them in and wait for a couple of hours because you had to get there to get a good seat to watch the fireworks over the Ohio River. And I remember one time Leanne Rimes was singing out on a barge, and You know, then when I was studying for my doctorate, we were in Chicago. Well, at least Kevin and Kate came to visit me the second and the third weeks. And we would go to the Grant Music Festival, and we would listen to the Independence Day music and snack on wine and cheese and then watch the fireworks afterwards. Yes, this is the time of year when we come together to celebrate the birth of our country and above all the freedom for which it stands. This is the time of year when citizens who take both their country and their faith seriously are brought to think about the purpose of freedom. Did you know that there are more than 50 references to freedom in the New Testament? Each explores a different dimension of what Paul calls in his letter to the Romans the glorious liberty of the children of God. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, however, there is less than a glorious atmosphere surrounding the subject. You see, the church at that time was divided into two camps. The first group were those who believed that freedom gave you the right to do anything that you pleased. I remember a 20th century novelist saying that what is good is what makes you feel good, and what is bad is what makes you feel bad. But the Gnostics of the very first century wouldn't have gone in that direction at all. They would say that the primary purpose of life is to separate the spirit from the body, and so in that case, nothing that you did really even mattered. You could just do what you please. But Paul says this in response to them: do not use your freedom for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves of one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you should love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free, not as an end, but as a means to love one another. Another camp in the church in Galatia was made up of those who thought that it was absolutely necessary to follow the requirements of religious ritual, especially the requirement of circumcision. That group would have said that freedom in Christ is all well and good, but they felt much more secure maintaining and following all the thousands of do's and don'ts. Paul was passionately convinced that observing the ritual or not observing wasn't what was important. According to Paul, was the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Yes, this is the time of year when we come together to celebrate the birth of our country and above all, the freedom for which it stands. After all, our nation is the land of the free, right? As Americans, we do enjoy more freedoms than most anybody on the planet. Even so, some of us are more free than others in our country. Many times, our freedom is a function or dependent upon our sex, our race, our class, our age, our able-bodiedness, or our gender identification. What I mean by that is people who have those right kind of things, whatever somebody describes them as, are more free to be the people that God created them to be. This has been true throughout our whole history as a nation. Abolitionist, orator, and statesman Frederick Douglass pointed out this in his 1852 Fourth of July speech when he said, "The 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice and I must mourn." At that time, of course, slavery was still legal. Although the Emancipation Proclamation made slavery a thing of the past, anytime another person or a group of persons is minimized and kept from enjoying the full benefits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or even more, becoming the person that God created them to be, they are not free. Not only does the marginalization of any person or group offend the law of our land, where we are supposed to be by the Declaration of Independence to enjoy the full benefits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but more importantly, it offends God's law. Because God created all persons, regardless of where we live, inside the United States or outside of the United States, in God's own image. And God lives in freedom, and we are to live in freedom. Christian freedom is a function of faithfulness to the law of love. The brand of love that Paul is talking about here is the way that Jesus loves us. The love of Christ was made evident in the way that he lived his life, and he gave up his life for each and every one of us as if we were the only one. When Jesus gave the greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, he was emphasizing ethics over emotion. Likewise, we are to work for the freedom or the emancipation in all areas in which human life, where human dignity is denied or diminished. The great 20th century religious thinker Reinhold Niebuhr put it this way. Basically, love means being responsible. Responsible to our family, towards our civilization. And now, by the pressures of history, towards the universe of humankind. So freedom in Christ is not freedom from responsibility, but rather freedom to be responsible. To be free means to be liberated from our self-centered pursuits. To be truly free means to move beyond ourselves, to move into the risk of love, and to give ourselves to the demand of service so that others may experience a greater degree of freedom. Freedom is a means to live a fruitful, purposeful life which reaches out in love to others. We are to use the freedom we enjoy to help release those who aren't free. Discipleship, or as Paul called it, faith working through love, is hardly ever convenient. It's hardly ever easy. But then again, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. This weekend, we give thanks to those who have sacrificed so that we could continue to enjoy our freedom as citizens of this country, and we are grateful. But discipleship, or faith working through love, will cost you, no doubt about it. As the Reverend Tom Schumann put it in his poem titled Hard, Hard. To embrace gracious freedom so eagerly that I take on every menial task on behalf of others. Hard. To avoid the aisles stocked with temptations, empty calories, but shop in the produce section of the kingdom, filling my cart with all sorts of luscious goodies, giving them away as I walk down the street. Hard to follow you, Lord, down paths overgrown with aching loneliness and potholed with grief, worn smooth where those who turned back walked. You have asked a hard thing, yet I see your footprints stretching out before me, and I take the first of what will surely be many faltering steps. We exercise our greatest capacity to use our freedom when we choose to serve others walking in the footsteps of Christ. In just a little while, we're going to join together in the Lord's Supper as we remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And we will be fed through the spiritual presence of Christ as we gather together around this table for that meal, as our faith is strengthened so that we once again can go out this week and reach out and be strengthened in our faith to reach out in love. Jesus had everything in the world going for him. He was at the height of his popularity, status, and safety, but he chose to turn his face to Jerusalem and go where he knew he must go. He gives us the truest picture of what true freedom looks like. It can be easy to become derailed for our quest for freedom. It's so easy to turn inward and to become self-serving with our freedom rather than turning outward towards the others. I like the little test that Frederick Buechner suggests. I use it when ever so often in my quiet time, just to make sure and check myself that I am still operating and functioning as a free moral agent. Buechner wrote, "If you have not cried for someone other than yourself in the last year, then you are probably already dead." Having feelings of empathy for others is a good place to start. But I know that I haven't passed this test until I actually do something, right, to my congressperson or make the time to make a call so that someone who I know needs to talk, to write a note of comfort, or to stand up for someone whose voice is simply not being heard. Remember how Paul put it, the only thing that matters is faith working through love. A dusty traveler walked up the steps of a small, well-kept farmhouse and knocked on the door. "Hello, what do you want?" the woman said as she answered the door, and the traveler asked her, "Does God live here?" With that, the woman slammed the door in his face and went back and told her husband, and he was appalled. He said, "Well, who does he think he is? Did you tell him that we attend church every Sunday?" And the wife said, "That's not what he asked." "Well, did you tell him that I tithe and that I serve as a church leader and that you teach Sunday school?" "Well, that's not what he asked either, dear." The couple talked it over, and then they realized that since Jesus Christ did live in their family, perhaps what they should do is go back to the door and see if he's still there and maybe invite him in instead of slamming the door in his face. Because the only thing that matters is faith working through love. When we reach out beyond ourselves in service to others in need, helping them to experience more of God's given freedom, we walk in the footsteps of our Lord. When we reach out beyond ourselves in service to others, we experience freedom in Christ. Land of the free and home of the brave, let us bravely work to create a world where all may rejoice, not only on Independence Day, but every day of the year. For freedom, Christ has set us free, all of us. Now that's something to celebrate. Amen. In just a few minutes, we will be sharing in the Lord's Supper, and so at this time, I invite all of our servers to please come forward. Today, remember, please be seated. As you leave worship today after the postlude, please remember Paul's words, "Most important thing is faith working through love, working to build a more just world where everyone's gifts may be honored and valued, and each person has that freedom in this country and way beyond our borders." And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with compassion and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen.